Welcome to the Live Treasured podcast. Today's podcast episode was taken from one of our She Is Treasured Bible studies called Godly Girl Power. To learn more about the Godly Girl Power study or all other She Is Treasured Bible studies, you can go to our website at www.treasuredministries.com/devotions. Now let's get into today's episode. Enjoy. Ready to dive into week three and some pretty awesome scriptures that you study this week from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Are you ready? Let's get started. Now, before we move forward, let's review what we've already learned. We've been talking about the fact that God's solution to codependency is a revelation of his power, and that as we look inside of the book of Ephesians, you and I are going to discover truths, the truth about God's all-surpassing power, which is very different from worldly power. And one of the things that we learned last week is that one of the ways that we find that power, we plug into that source of power, is with intimacy with God, but that idols can interrupt that intimacy. Well, today I want to talk about another friction to that godly girl power, and that is emotional strongholds. Now, when I'm talking about emotional strongholds, I'm talking about that riptide of emotion that just seems like a current that comes over you. The anger, the anxiety, the fear, the worry, the depression that just seems to settle inside of your soul. And sometimes you and I can feel powerless against those emotions. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And to illustrate what I want to talk to you about and why it's so important, I want to share with you a conversation that I had with a president of a marketing company. He explained to me that marketing is like a science and that a lot of good marketers have studied human behavior. And so they make decisions based off of human behavior because they want you to buy whatever it is that their awesome product is that they're selling. And here's what he told me. Two things. Number one, that people buy on emotion. That whenever you watch those commercials, that the marketing commercials are trying to play on your fear or give you that tearjerk reaction so that you'll buy their product. People buy on emotion. Number two, people will not necessarily buy the best product. They will buy the best win for them. In other words, the marketing is what matters most. You can have two different ice creams, and one ice cream is made from all organic ingredients and is clearly the better product. But if another ice cream that's maybe similar but not as great has better marketing, that people are more likely to buy that ice cream instead. Well, you know something, there is an enemy of your soul, and he also is studying your behavior. And just like a good marketer, he is marketing by using your emotions. He's using lies to get that anxiety going and the fear going. Why? So that you will take his bait and make choices to walk underneath the bondage that he creates in our life to those emotions, rather than walking under the blessing of God. So I want to dive in and talk about that topic, because here's the thing. Our emotions can be a strong force in our life. And you know what? God created us. And when he created us in his image. And that means that because God has emotions, so do we. The evil is not with those strong emotions themselves. The problem comes into play when those emotions step into the driver's seat instead of are our lives being directed by the Holy Spirit? So let's dive into our Nourish passage this week. And I love these 10 verses because Paul is really walking the Ephesians through what their life was like without Christ and what their life is like with Christ. And so he starts out in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1, and he explains to them this. He says, once you were dead, and we'll be talking about that that word dead in just a minute and what that means. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. So, did you catch that? That when we lived apart from Christ, the way that we lived, and it says all of us used to live that way, was by following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. Now, I've got an illustration of that for you. I want you to think of these two circles. The gray circle, I want you to think of that as your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then the outward circle is like your physical body. It is the result of the choices that you make, the outward working of what you think and how you feel and your will, your choices that you make. Now, inside of the soul, the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you choose, they're all connected because our thoughts will control how we feel, and our feelings are like a force. They determine the choices that we make. Now, here's the kicker. You can't change the way that you feel. You can't change the way that you feel. And so oftentimes when people say to you, well, just stop feeling anxious or just stop feeling that way, and you try to stop your feelings, you're not addressing the right issue. The reality is that it's the way that we think that will determine how we feel. Now, God's given us the ability to renew our mind with truth. And because of that, we can change the way that we think, which will change the way that we feel, which will change the way that we choose. But the problem is that our souls, well, we have a sin nature. All you and I, our souls have a sin nature, and there's desires inside of our soul that lead us, and back when we did not have Christ, this is how we made our decisions. It was based off of what we felt and what we thought, and this had a sin nature attached to it. And not only that, but the enemy behind it all, I mean, inside of that scripture, it says, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. And so the enemy is constantly working through people, working through our circumstances, using lies, right, to trip us and to trick us. And oftentimes our souls are also bruised. They're bruised through the trauma that we feel inside of life. And so we have our sin nature. We have our souls that have been marinated in our upbringing or in the trauma inside of our past. And so because of that, we lived according to how we thought and how we felt. Now, here's the beautiful thing. In the next verse in 4, it says, but God, don't you just love that? But God is so rich in his mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we are dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you're saved. Verse 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us in all that he has done for those who are united with Christ. So after we became Christians, the Holy Spirit came and it indwelled within us. And our spirit, it was once dead to God, but now we are connected to God. And because of that, I no longer have to choose to follow my feelings or follow my sinful nature. I can choose not to be driven by those emotions, but directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, if that's true, then why do I still feel anxious? Or maybe if you have those desires that just, you know, that raging anger that might come your way, sometimes as a Christian, because we read scriptures like this that tell us we're in Christ, right? Then we start to feel very shameful for having those feelings and we never address them. And see, here's the thing. Emotions are not evil. Emotions are not evil. The enemy is evil, but not your emotions. I want you to start thinking about your emotions like an engine light into your soul, letting you know that there's something wrong, right? That you need to address inside your soul. Much like if you had a scratch on your wrist or on your physical body, you would take your body to a doctor. When we have those powerful emotions inside of us, you know, the fear and the anger and the depression and all of those sorts of things, the anxiety, we need to stop seeing that as we're a bad Christian or those emotions are evil, so let me just squash them. We need to see those emotions as an engine light to our soul so that we can bring them to Jesus. You see, emotions are not evil, but the enemy will use our emotions, and he knows just the right lies to feed us to create that emotional current because he wants us to take his bait instead of living under God's blessing. But as we just talked about in our nurse scripture, we have the Holy Spirit, and our emotional stability in life flows from the truth Jesus teaches us over a lifetime. You see, revealed truth from the Holy Spirit is what will regulate emotions. Now, here's the thing. Remember what I said? You're thinking, well, I have the Holy Spirit and I still struggle with these emotions. I mean, Eileen, I am in Christ and I still struggle with this. Here's the thing. When you become a Christian, you are saved. You are saved. And your spirit has been renewed and Christ is in you, but it is your mind that needs to be renewed. And your old past patterns are still there. And most importantly, remember that in the very first of those scriptures, it talked about the enemy. A battle has begun. And it's like you've got a target on your back, right? The enemy is battling for your heart because he is marketing to you through those lies. And he wants you to take his bait instead of living under God's blessings by walking directed by the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing though. Not only is there a battle going on, if you are a codependent learns to cope in life by getting their worth and value through external resources. So you look to your circumstances or other people to determine truth. You look at what other people say or the world's measurements, anything outside of that inner strength, that's what you've been conditioned to measure your worth and value. And so here's what can happen. You know, when Paul was writing these scriptures, he was sitting in prison. And inside of the scripture, he said in verse 6, "For he raised us from the dead with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." So Paul said, we are seated in the heavenly realms at a time when he was sitting in prison. And in this scripture, you never hear Paul say that God doesn't love me because I'm in prison, right? You hear him talking about his abundant love, and you can just feel the joy seem to leap off of those pages. And that's because Paul was not determining who God was from his circumstances. And he didn't see himself from his circumstances. He didn't see the truth from his circumstances. His source was God's word. His source was Jesus. Have you ever walked through something traumatic in life and you think, God must not love me, or there must be something wrong with me, right? Or maybe it is that you're consistently using the world's measurements to determine your worth and value, and that can leave you in a place of just not feeling worthy or depressed. Do you see what I'm saying? And so as a codependent, a lot of times we are externally referenced, and so our thoughts are controlled not only by sources like people, circumstances, the world's systems, not only from sources that are not the truth, but also from sources that are up one day and down the next, up one day and down the next. Our circumstances can be up and then they can be down. People's opinions of us can be up and then they can be down, and up and down and up and down it goes. And so because it's up and down and up and down, our emotions are riding up and down, up and down. And in codependency, because you're externally referenced, you're deriving your truth from a source that is not only unstable, but it's not Jesus. It's not Jesus. And so what God wants us to do is to draw our truth from him, talking about that inner circle. He wants us to draw our truth from him. The other reason why, not only is there a battle, not only when you're a codependent, you're conditioned to getting your truth from outside sources rather than within, there's also something that I learned from Jeremy Wiles, who is the producer of the Conquer series, which is this amazing series. And I highly recommend it. If you know anyone whose husband is struggling with pornography, I would highly recommend sharing this series to you. But he's written this whole series on giving men a battle plan on how to conquer pornography. And as I was interviewing him inside of our podcast, he was teaching me about the brain. And he talked about something that he called the limbonic lie. And the limbonic lie is something that is lodged deep into our subconscious. And it happens at a time of trauma. And our brain does this because it wants to protect us from future trauma. And to give you an illustration of that, if I was walking through my yard and maybe I got bitten by a snake or something like that, you know, my body would learn to just watch out for things that look like snakes. And so maybe after that experience, every time I would see a snake, there would be a trigger, and I would jump back from that stick, even though it was really not a snake, it was a stick. Well, all of us have those lies, those automatic responders that we respond to that are deeply rooted inside of our subconscious. And what's hard about that is that it's hard to see them for ourselves. I mean, if we grew up and we had a negative experience with a male, there may be that lie inside of our subconscious that says all men are terrible, or we may have trouble trusting people, or I mean, it could just be just a myriad of things. And we're going to be talking about renewing the mind more in a later video. But what I want you to hear crystal clear from what he told me is that, you know, helping these men overcome and conquer their addiction could not be done until they got to the root. Because it was from the root, the lie that drove this behavior inside of them, that, you know, that gave them the feelings, that wanted them, you know, that led them to be addicted to pornography. And until he was able to, until the male could identify the lie, they wouldn't be free. Okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing that he told me is that this takes time. He spoke to me about how sometimes he felt like that the church did a little disservice because, you know, it would just say, don't do that. And you think about sometimes we hear, you know, we know that we're not supposed to be jealous. We know that we're not, you know, supposed to be anxious. And we're trying so hard not to be, but we never really take the time to stop and to process through. And we don't understand sometimes that sometimes these things take time. That those lies are so embedded deep in our subconscious that it's only Jesus Christ that can set us free. And so it takes time. It takes time. And we need to walk alongside of somebody that will love us and reveal truth to us. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. And it talks about how the Holy Spirit is an advocate and a guide. And I want to read to you these scriptures in John when it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It says this in John 14, and I'm starting out in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. So listen to what the Bible's saying about the Holy Spirit, that it's our advocate. And the Bible makes reference to the fact that we will not be abandoned as orphans, right? That the Holy Spirit is going to come. You know, one job of a mother that is so critical is that a mother is very much responsible when we're children for helping us to learn how to regulate our emotions. In other words, if we're little and we throw a temper tantrum because we can't have something right away, you know, it's the mom that can come alongside and nurture us and tell us the truth. You know, I'm sorry, you can't have 5 pieces of cake because I care about you and you don't need to have all that sugar. A mother can just come and just help us to discern and regulate that truth. And so over time, if we've had a nurturing mom, we're going to have a higher, what they call emotional intelligence, because we've learned to take a step back and to think through, and we can recall experiences that we've had with our mom. But some of us grew up in homes where our mom was not a nurturer. And it may have been that your mom was so emotionally wounded that she simply just couldn't be there for you. Perhaps it was that your mom passed away when you were young. Maybe it is that your mom saw you as the way that she was going to get her emotional needs met. And she looked to you to be like a mom to her and to counsel her. And because of that, you didn't have the opportunity to grow up, right, under her care. And it may also be that your mom had trouble in regulating her emotions. So there was never really any example. But here's the truth. You know, God never meant for us to stay connected with our parents forever. He provided our parents in his perfect way. Our parents, our mothers would have nurtured us, and then that nurturing would have led us into this relationship, this nurturing relationship with God. But if you didn't have that growing up, see, the thing is that all of us, God's plan for all of us is to learn to walk in dependence upon him. You are not an orphan. The Lord can bring the Holy Spirit to you when you accept Christ as your Savior. And the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as an advocate, as a counselor, as somebody that guides us into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit, to me, is like a nurturing mother that can help me to regulate my emotions as I listen and lean on the Holy Spirit to discern truth. You see, revealed truth from the Holy Spirit is what can regulate our emotions. The Holy Spirit is like your nurturing mother that can give you wise counsel by revealing truth that sets you free from painful emotions. Now, I'm going to give you 3 steps to just think about the next time that you have that rush of emotions. And here's why this is important. Not only are emotions, the emotion of shame, they can be so painful and so dangerous. Anger is a dangerous emotion, but they're not only painful for us, but they pull us away from our purpose because they drag us to take the bait that Satan is offering. And really, a lot of times, Satan is playing on a legitimate need that we have, and he's telling us to get it met an illegitimate way, right? But instead of walking under the blessing of God by depending on him, it's like those desires, those emotions that we have, they can just drive us to want to take the enemy's bait. So the next time that you feel that rush of emotion, the first thing is, I want you to pause. I want you to pause. You know, we can react so quickly to something, a bad report that we're facing or whatever it is that's going on. And I want you to just pause when you feel that rush coming on. And I want you to begin to see your emotions as an engine light into your soul, saying, hang on just a second, let's pause, okay? So in other words, don't make any big actions right away when you have that emotion. Pause and take a step back. The next part in this process is, well, it's to process what you're feeling with Jesus. And I want you to remember this statement. So write it down. In order to heal, I must feel. In order to heal, I must feel. You know, there was a time in my life where I was very angry with God. I was. But because I knew that I shouldn't be angry with God, I just shut down those feelings and I just denied that they were real and I just didn't address them. And because of that, I was still attending church and I was going through the emotions. But I never addressed what was going on until some wise person challenged me to bring those negative emotions to God. So we want to process that pain with him. We want to be authentic. We want to stop denying. Don't deny the jealousy. Don't deny the rage. Don't deny any of that. Bring it all to God. Bring it all to God. See, the enemy doesn't want us to process with Jesus. The enemy, and why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to reveal truth to us. And the revealed truth will always trump over what the truth that I see in my circumstances, right? And so the enemy doesn't want us to find out the truth. So what he'll do is he'll even use those painful emotions to get you to feel shame so that you will hide and try to handle it on your own instead of coming to Jesus to get the help that you need. So we want to feel, give yourself permission to feel and just sit in the pain for a while. And when you begin to get authentic about your emotions, and maybe you've been pushing them down for a long time. I know when I first started doing that, it was like the floodgates opened and I just felt. And there were lots of tears and lots of, you know, anger came out and just different things came out. And it was a season, but it was a time where I was using to process the pain that I was feeling by placing it at the feet of Jesus. And then we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us, because it's the truth that's going to set you free. In John 8, 31, 32. Now, before I read the scripture, let me back up again. It's not just the truth that is going to set you free in that moment. It's truth taught to you for a lifetime. In other words, this is a lifetime journey. We don't get it once and then we have it all together. We continue to walk with Jesus in discipleship by going inside of his word in that daily truth. Listen to this scripture. So Jesus said to the disciples who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Message translation says it this way: "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will set you free." Do you see that? You got to stick with it. Just like Jeremy Wiles told me, he said, you know, it takes time. In fact, what he said was, it takes 3 to 5 years. 3 to 5 years. And we have to, you know, the Bible talks about working out our salvation. We have to continue to work, to take our thoughts captive. We must never be passive about it. And here's the other thing that I want to say about Jesus showing us the truth. Oftentimes we can read that scripture, "The truth will set us free." And we think immediately, we might think, what's true in the Bible? And that's definitely a part of it. But it's been my experience that a lot of times Jesus wants to show me the truth about me, my situation, what's really going on. You know, they say that anger is a secondary emotion. And when I was really dealing with a lot of anger, God had to show me a lot of painful truths about myself, about my bitterness, about just different things like that. And in codependence, we don't like that because we want to be perfect. It's almost like we fear like that there could be something wrong with us, right? Whereas Jesus says, "Let me show you the truth, not to condemn you, but because I want you to be free." So inside of that processing, go ahead and feel and cry and pour your heart out to God. You know, the Bible says that God is near the brokenhearted. And it's when we come to him with complete honesty that we can begin to heal. And I want you to ask him to show you the truth. You can even write down those verses, 8:31, John 8:31 and 32, and say, "Jesus, show me the truth. You reveal truth to me." That's what you promise inside of your word. Revealed truth from the Holy Spirit will help us to regulate our emotions, because there's something awesome that happens about truth. Truth helps to change our thinking. And a lot of times, the problem that we were worried about or whatever it was, it's not that the problem changes. Our perspective changes. Think about Paul. He was in prison, but he had a different perspective because he was seeing things through the eyes of truth. And so we must feel our feelings. We must ask Jesus to reveal truth to us. And we must be okay with facing that truth. You know, sometimes when we don't want to feel those feelings, we'll kind of fly away. We might medicate the pain and the emotion of shame and just the destruction that can happen from emotional strongholds. It's not easy to feel that. But it is through feeling and processing and pressing into Jesus that you will find truth that can set you free. Now, the last part is this. Once you find the truth, ask Jesus to show you a promise inside of the word. Nothing will change your feelings more than when you dwell on God's promises instead of your problems. When you dwell on God's promises instead of maybe what the enemy is enticing you to do. And claiming those promises and renewing your mind on those promises can be powerful. In fact, listen to this scripture in 2 Peter 1:4. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Did you hear that? Escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. It's the promises of God, the truth that can change the way that we think, which will change the way that we feel, which will change the way that we act. And again, this is something that you must, as the Message translation said, you must stick with it for 3 years, for 5 years. And that's the beauty of the Nourish Bible Study Method, is that one day at a time, one step at a time, you're developing this relationship with Jesus. You're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. And over time, he will walk you step by step through this process. Now, the last thing that I want you to see, and this is such a beautiful truth, is that the pain that you've walked through in your life, the emotional pain, it's a part of your purpose. It's a part of your purpose. Now, in those last verses in our nurse scripture, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You see, don't let evil win. When you become a Christian, the battle just begins. The battle for your heart, the battle for your soul. And Jesus wants you to surrender to him so that you can live for him. And a part of that process is that our past pain, maybe things that we've done under emotional distress or the ways that we got our love met. I often say that my idols in my life were never carved out of wood. They were carved from my desire to be loved and accepted and protected and cared for. And I made some mistakes with that. But you know what? The mistakes that I made are part of the ministry that I have now. And the pain that you walked through will be a part of your purpose. You know, when Paul was writing this letter, we all know about Paul's past, right? Paul actually killed Christians, and he used his good works to determine his relationship with God, right? And then God brought him on this Damascus Road experience, and I can't think of a worse past, right, than killing Christians. And now Paul is preaching the gospel. What would happen if Paul would have said, you know, my past pain, I made some mistakes and now I'm disqualified? Well, Paul's written 2/3 of the New Testament. And whatever it is that you've walked through, and maybe it was that you were driven by desires in your past and you traded maybe the plans that God had for you for your past. Maybe it was for your passions. Maybe it was after you became a Christian. Well, that's all in the past today. Will you release it to God that you can receive the new work that he wants you to do? And with compassion, offer that comfort to others, the same comfort that God gave you.